How do you do? What would you do if someone you loved betrayed you? Many would react with a bitter, unforgiving attitude, as the man in this story was tempted to do, but he chose to investigate the reason for the betrayal. And what he learned forced him to make a very painful decision, one he embraced only when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
I know this is hard for you and Mom to accept, Dad. I don't want to hurt you, but I can't turn back from what I know is true.
Oh, Judy.
You've been deceived.
No, I believe in God. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
But, Judy, you're Jewish. Jews don't believe in Jesus. How can you be Jewish and believe in Jesus? It's impossible.
Oh, Daddy, you're wrong. Some Jews have always believed in Jesus, and you'd be surprised at how many Jews there are today who believe in him.
Ah, Vesmir.
Look, Daddy, you're an educated man. You have all sorts of degrees. Read the Bible for yourself and make up your own mind. It's either true or it's false. And if you read it carefully and ask God to reveal the truth to you, he will.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Nobody plans to end up homeless, living on the streets. But without a strong moral compass, that's what happens to thousands of men and women. Thanks to the generosity of friends who give financially that others may live, Pacific Garden Mission has kept the doors open since 1877, and today offers food, clothing, and shelter, as well as medical and dental care, to lost and desperate souls. The mission provides classes and counseling to help each guest choose new habits and attitudes, behavior that leads to a life of responsibility and purpose, all prepared by the one who said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2634 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. Last week, we heard how the man in this story, raised the conservative Jew, was outraged when his 21-year-old daughter broke the news that she believed in Jesus. In this conclusion to a two-part story, Stan Telchin reveals the startling discoveries he made when he accepted his daughter's challenge to seek the truth. This is his true story right now on Unshackled.
Unless you're Jewish, you can't comprehend how betrayed my wife and I felt. Our younger daughter was equally outraged and would barely speak to her sister. But as I read the Bible, looking for ammunition to disprove Judy's belief, I was constantly chagrined at how ignorant I was about my own religion. I finished the first four Gospels of the New Testament, then began a study of our Jewish Bible, the Tanakh. I studied in the evening after work, taking breaks for tea or coffee with my wife.
So how is it going?
It amazes me, Ethel. Jews have always been known as people of the book. I can't believe I'm 50 years old and I know so little about the Bible.
No, you're making up for lost time, aren't you?
Well, sure, but it hurts to think that in all those years, never once do I remember discussing the Tanakh with anyone else. Not my parents, brothers, sisters, friends, even rabbis. All I ever read was the prayer book. Who took the Bible away from us? How come I don't know more about it?
I don't know, Stan.
Well, the first question I had to answer for myself was, do I believe God really exists?
Do you?
I went through years of doubt, especially after the Holocaust. But deep in my heart, I believe he does.
Well, what now?
Archaeology verifies the historical accuracy of the Bible. Now I have to decide if it was divinely inspired. That was 1975. And my business was very successful. So we had a full-time housekeeper named Heidi who was a devout Christian, though she never talked about her faith with us. As I wrestled with the strange beliefs I found in the New Testament, I decided to ask Heidi's opinion. Heidi, Do you consider yourself to be a good Christian?
Oh, no, Mr. Telchin. I can only work at it.
Well, you do believe in Jesus.
Yes.
Do you believe in the virgin birth?
Oh, yes. It makes complete sense to me.
How could you say that?
For the Son of God to come to earth in any usual way would be, well, not like God. Jesus was too special. So God himself picked an innocent girl and planted in her body the seed that was to be Jesus.
But why would God want to go through all that? Why wouldn't he just send Jesus down to earth as a man and do what he's supposed to do?
I'm sorry, Mr. Telchin, but I have only small knowledge of the deep things of God. When I don't understand something, I just put it aside for a time and trust that he will bring me understanding if he wants me to have it.
With no way to prove whether the Tanakh was divinely inspired or not, I decided it was easier to believe it was divinely inspired than to believe it was merely a story about the Jewish people. Next, I had to determine if it prophesied a coming Messiah. My search uncovered the most messianic prophecies in Isaiah. Wanting to know more, Ethel and I went to hear a rabbi discuss spirit life in Judaism. I raised my hand to question him. Rabbi, would you discuss the concept of a soul in Jewish life?
What's a soul? If by soul you mean the essence of a person, that which makes him unique from all others, my answer will be brief. I do not know. I do not know what makes us different, apart from our genetic makeup, heredity, and environment.
Rabbi, will you tell us about the Messiah?
What's a Messiah?
Rabbi, I was disappointed in your answers to my questions. I really do want to know more about the soul and the Messiah.
But tell me, what makes you think I have the answers?
But you're a rabbi.
The longer I live, it seems like the less I know. In fact, I probably have more questions than you.
Well, then, how do I find out about God?
Each man has to find God in his own way.
I was stunned. If he didn't know the answers, how could I? But at the same time, I felt relieved because he had just given me permission to continue my study. So I searched on, reading the opinions of men and pondering the prophecies of Scripture. Several months had elapsed, and I was neglecting my business. My eyes were rimmed with red, and my smoking increased along with Ethel's concern for me.
How's it going, dear?
It baffles me that almost no Jews talk about the Messiah today. And yet this writer says the messianic idea is the most glistening jewel in the glorious crown of Judaism.
Well, I don't remember my family talking about the Messiah.
But I do remember when I was little, I asked for a bicycle, and Mom laughed and said, "You'll get your bike when the Messiah comes." I didn't know what she was talking about.
Well, it's like never, isn't it? Like we've given up on him.
Ethel, these Bible prophecies are incredible. Do you know what I found in the book of Daniel? A very specific prophecy about the Messiah being cut off before the city and the sanctuary are destroyed, which happened in 70 AD. All the genealogies were destroyed with the temple, so the Messiah had to come by then, or there would be no way to prove that he was the seed of David.
Oh, all this is so confusing, Stan. Hello? Oh, Judy. We're fine, dear. Your father? Let me check. Oh, he's very busy and can't talk right now. Why don't I call you back in a few moments?
Thanks, Ethel. I'm not ready to talk to her yet.
I'll call from the kitchen so I don't interrupt your work.
Ethel, I've been thinking. In the future, I'll try not to share the things I'm learning with you because I don't want to influence you one way or the other, okay?
That's fine, dear.
You continue your studies and I'll continue mine, and let's hope we come to the same conclusion. Seeking answers, I heard about a congregation of Jewish and Gentile believers that worshiped together on Friday night, something I had to see for myself. There I met Jewish men and women of all ages and backgrounds who called themselves believers, or Messianic Jews. We also became friends with a non-Jewish couple and met in each other's homes.
More coffee, Stan?
Oh, please.
How is your younger daughter doing?
Still hurting.
She cries a lot.
She and Judy used to be so close, and now she won't even speak to her on the phone.
Oh, what you're going through is very hard.
Oh, you have no idea.
I'm doing research now on the Messiah. Some writers think the Messiah is a person. Others speak of a messianic age.
What do you think, Stan?
I don't know. I like the idea of a person, a strong redeemer. But I don't see how a Jewish Messiah would come to the Gentiles. I read in your New Testament where even Jesus said he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I don't see how Jesus could be the Messiah since he belongs to the Gentiles.
You know, Stan, I think you really need to study three specific passages of prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, Isaiah chapter 53, and Psalm 22.
You know, I'll write that down and I'll take a look, Meg. Thanks. Back home, I was shocked to read the verses in Jeremiah chapter 31, where God said he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Then I read Isaiah chapter 53, an exact description of Jesus. I turned to Psalm 22 and read a prophecy of the crucifixion, all written hundreds of years before it happened. I sat there until after 2 a.m., thinking, knowing that the Bible does prophesy about the Messiah. But Jesus? Everything in me cried, remember the Crusades, remember the Inquisition, remember the pogroms, all done in the name of Jesus Christ. My mood darkened.
Stan, the world has not come to an end because Judy believes in Jesus. I was as upset as you were in the beginning, and I still don't want this for her, but the more I read about Jesus, the more I like him.
That's not the issue, Ethel. It's not hard to like someone who helps people and is good to children. It's what Jesus says about himself that is at issue.
Like what?
Like, I and the Father are one?
Jesus says he is God.
That's right.
Well, there's nothing halfway about anything Jesus did.
And I guess that's what bothers me so much. It's easy to accept him as a good person, a brilliant teacher, even a prophet. But those statements he made about himself drive me up a wall. You have to accept him completely or you just...
What?
Or decide he was nutty as a fruitcake.
Well, that's what it boils down to, doesn't it? Either it's all true or it's all false.
Yes.
Stan, how much longer are you going to go on with this? You can't just forget your business entirely.
Ethel, this is something I have to do no matter how long it takes. Judy brought us to a crisis of beliefs. I've got to prove that she is wrong.
What if she's right? Where do we go from there?
Well, you know, years ago we gave our girls the freedom to make the critical choices in life, didn't we?
Well, I never thought it would come to this.
Nor did I, Ethel. Yeah, I'd be a lot more comfortable if Judy told us that she didn't believe in God than that she believes in Jesus. You can still be a Jew and be an atheist.
But Stan, why can't she believe in Jesus and still be Jewish?
Because being one denies the other.
Stan had to answer only one question to resolve his conflict, and he'll tell us in just a moment. You're missing a real treat if you've never been to Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. As soon as you approach the mission on State Street, you learn why the homeless feel welcome. Someone is always standing outside to smile and invite you in for refreshments. We'll give you a guided tour of all the facilities, explaining how the mission started and continues to reach out to lost souls. And you'll see why so many lives have been transformed at the old lighthouse. And if you visit on Saturday, you can be part of the audience watching a production of Unshackled. Everyone enjoys seeing how the sound effects and music enhance each true story. And afterward, we hope you'll join us for supper, sharing the same nutritious meal the homeless receive. And there's no charge for anything. If you can't visit in person, visit our website, unshackled.org. Many people listen to Unshackled stories online, the same as those broadcast on radio. And you can also find a history of this program, complete with pictures. To learn more about visiting, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Now, however you contact us, please include your address.
Stan, how goes the research?
Oh, mind-boggling. You know how the early believers were all Jews or proselytes to Judaism?
And then came Peter's vision described in the book of Acts where God told him to go to the Gentiles.
Yes, but that's not what I mean. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was sent to the Jews. He was sent for us, not for the Gentiles. But now 2,000 years later, he's only for the Gentiles and not for us. How did that happen?
Do you have the answer?
Well, partially. I've done a lot of research, and this is my conclusion. Even after the temple was destroyed, the Jewish believers were part of the Jewish community. Then came a big revolt against Rome in 132 AD, and a rabbi, Akiva, declared the leading general to be the Messiah. The believers wouldn't fight under a false Messiah, and they deserted by the thousands.
I didn't know that.
The revolt failed, and Jerusalem was plowed under. And from then on, the Jews called the believers traitors. They were ostracized.
And the divisions grew worse over the years.
Yes. Conflicting views on significant matters continued to separate them.
The contention increased.
Mm-hmm. And by the Crusades, we were identified as the enemy. Then came the Inquisition, and centuries later, Hitler, with the final solution to the Jewish problem.
Amazing, isn't it? A message of love distorted into a message of hate.
Is it any wonder Jews reject Jesus as the Messiah? I had come up with a list of 40 prophecies from the Tanakh about the Messiah, and Jesus had fulfilled all of them. But I was uneasy, unconvinced. 3 months had gone by, and I felt a need to get back to my business that I had virtually turned over to my assistant. Meanwhile, Anne, our younger daughter, graduated from high school.
For graduation, Anne wants to visit Neil in Los Angeles.
Unchaperoned?
Well, she's almost 18, Stan. In a few months, she'll be going off to college.
Nevertheless, this is a big step, honey.
Well, Neil has arranged for her to stay with a young woman he knows.
What do you think?
Well, they've been good friends for years, and they're both artists.
I guess we have to let go sometime, huh?
Well, you'll be in San Francisco at the same time, so you can check on her.
You know, I am looking forward to getting away for a while. And it's a big honor to address the $1 million round table. Flying west with a drink in one hand and a cigarette in the other, I finished reading the Book of Revelation, raising eyebrows around me. In San Francisco, I lost myself for several days in the convention. But to my surprise, I had no taste for the parties. Ethel was visiting Judy in Boston, so I called.
Hello?
Ethel? Well, you don't sound very good. Are you all right?
I'm dizzy, Stan. Maybe you can talk to Judy. I'll go lie down.
Dad, it's me.
What's wrong with your mother?
I think she may be coming down with the flu. Don't worry. I'm watching her. If she gets worse, I'll call a doctor.
Okay. Well, I'll be here for a few more days if you need me. Then I'm flying to Los Angeles, and you can reach me at Emily's.
Okay.
When the convention ended, I flew to Los Angeles for a day and saw Anne briefly, who looked radiant. But we didn't have a chance to talk because others were around. Then I flew home and Ethel met me at the airport.
I flew back home last night.
Oh, I'm so glad you're feeling better, honey.
Must have been a touch of the flu.
So, how was your time with Judy?
We had a wonderful visit.
Oh.
We didn't argue, dear. We just visited, mostly. She's as convinced as ever that Jesus is the Messiah.
Oh, how do we reach her?
Stan, where are you now in the search? I mean, have you given it up? Are you going back to work?
No, I haven't given it up. There's some work I must do at the office, then I plan to get back to my reading. Do you think I should go back to my business?
I think you should do what you feel you must do.
One night, Ethel and I got together with our friends, Meg and Dick, for coffee. Our conversation that night continued to lead me down the path of my search for truth.
Hey, Stan, how was the convention in Frisco?
Oh, heady stuff. You know, I needed to get away, and I'd like to work conventions.
Did you hear that there's going to be an international convention of Messianic Jews in a couple of weeks?
There's enough of them to hold an international convention?
More than enough. You ought to go.
No way.
Oh, come on, it's not that far. Messiah College, Grantham, Pennsylvania.
Well, there could be some interesting speakers. How do you get there? For several days, I wavered, then made a decision to attend the convention. Ethel decided not to go with me, so I drove there alone. When I arrived, everyone was warm and friendly. After the first meeting, as I was walking to the dorm, I noticed an old disabled Jewish woman, so I offered to carry her suitcase.
My name is Lillian, and you are?
Stan Telchin.
Ah. How long have you been a believer, Stan?
No, I'm not a believer. An inquirer, perhaps, but absolutely not a believer.
I see. Let's sit down on this bench and rest for a moment.
Okay, certainly.
Do me a favor, Stan. Open my briefcase there and take out my Bible.
Okay.
Please open the Bible to Exodus chapter 20 and read the first few verses for me.
All right. Take me a little... And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Enough, Stan. Please, close the Bible. Now tell me, who is your God?
What?
Don't be upset. I'm not trying to aggravate you. Just think about it. Who is your God? Whom do you worship? Do you worship money, your family, your home, your job? What is it you worship? Do you worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who delivered our ancestors from the land of Egypt?
Lillian touched something deep inside me that morning. For the rest of the day, I had trouble focusing on the speakers because I was thinking so hard. And that night, I couldn't sleep, and I asked my roommate to pray for me. He offered up a simple prayer that God would give me peace and resolve my deep inner conflict. The next thing I knew, it was morning, and I slipped out to have breakfast with friends I had made. Normally, one of them would pray, but that morning, they asked me to pray. Praised be thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. I thank you for the fellowship and friendship at this table. I thank you for what we have learned at this meeting. I ask you now to bless this food, and I do so in the name of Jesus the Messiah.
Well said.
I had not planned to say those words. They came from my heart. I sat there stunned as the people at my table got up in turn and hugged me, some crying. Then I too began to cry. I had seen the truth while sitting on the bench beside Lillian trying to answer her question, who is your God? And after weeks of counting the cost, the overwhelming truth was greater than the cost. Later that morning, I called Ethel.
Hello?
Eth, it's me. It's over. I've made my decision. Jesus is the Messiah.
Oh, thank God. That makes it unanimous. We've been waiting for you.
I was so worried about calling you, afraid you'd feel betrayed.
No, dear. I came to the same conclusion a few days before when I was in Boston with Judy.
You said unanimous. You mean Anne believes, too?
Yes. When she got to Los Angeles, Neil was a believer. She made her decision there.
No wonder she looks so radiant.
I'll tell you the whole story when you get home.
Ethel, it feels as if an enormous load has lifted off my heart. I've never felt such joy as I feel now.
I can see the difference in you, Stan.
How come I didn't see the difference in you?
You were too preoccupied to notice.
Tell me how it happened.
Well, the night after I arrived in Boston, I went to bed still believing that Jesus was just a good man. But I awoke in the morning knowing he is the Messiah.
And my heart was changed sitting on a bench at the college. All my study had left me so confused, but suddenly God pierced my heart and it all made perfect sense.
Well, I felt very sick the night I arrived in Boston.
I know. I called you, but you gave the phone to Judy.
Well, later her friend Charles came over and prayed for me, and he was so sincere. I found myself praying that God would heal me just for his sake.
And he did.
About 5 minutes after Charles left, I felt much better and even ate a sandwich. I went to bed that night still not believing. But when I woke up the next morning, I believed it all. When I told Judy I believed in Jesus, we wept together. Later, I decided not to tell you what I had done, but to let you decide on your own.
And it wasn't on my own, Ethel. God really did choose us and made himself real to us. Accepting Jesus as my Messiah and Lord was an earth-shaking decision for me. Ethel and I threw ourselves into meetings and classes to learn more about Jesus. But I kept my decision private and didn't tell my Jewish friends and family. Ethel, however, was invited to give her testimony on radio, and word soon got around. Before long, we found that we were ostracized by nearly everyone we knew.
Remember our old neighbor, Lydia?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I ran into her today while shopping, and she demanded to know if it was true that our whole family had become Jews for Jesus.
What did you say?
Well, I told her we were Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and I'd be happy to talk with her about it sometime.
I doubt that she will.
She spit in my face.
Oh, Ethel.
It doesn't make any sense, Stan. No one in her family belongs to a synagogue or has any religious beliefs. Her son didn't even have a bar mitzvah. He had a cello recital instead. How can she ignore God, the Bible, and all Jewish practices as if they don't exist, and then attack me for my beliefs?
Funny, isn't it? Jews will accept Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, humanistic Jews, agnostic Jews, atheistic Jews, and even gay Jews. But Messianic Jews? No way. For us, the welcome mat is pulled away.
Oh, thank God for friends like Mabel. She defends us to everyone, even though she doesn't understand why we made our decision.
We're learning a lot, Eth, about persecution and what Jesus went through. Let's not let anyone rob us of the joy we found in him. I have learned that every believer faces persecution from the world and from their own families. As a follower of Jesus since 1975, I am to follow after his peace that passes all understanding, never compromising the Word of God. After 34 years of smoking, I quit when the Lord took away the desire. Ethel and I taught a Bible study in our home before I went to Bible school. And today, I serve the Lord as an evangelist, telling the world that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives, and Jesus really is the Messiah.
The Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises." Friend, the gospel message is for both the Jew and the Gentile. It is for you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 states it very simply, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." All you have to do is turn to God in faith, believing that Christ died for your sins, ask his forgiveness, and invite him into your heart and life. If you need help in making this crucial decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2634, heard in the true story of Stan Telchin, Part 2, where Rick Dianofsky, Anna Maria Alvarez, Helen Cutting, Nancy Sellers, and Mike Baccarella. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And we'd love to hear from you, so please write today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.